if you don't have a reason to be grateful, you don't have a reason to clap your hands. But if you know that God's been good to you, if you know God's been good to your family, if you know that God's been better to you than you've been to yourself, I dare you give God some praise in the building today. We shouldn't have to pump or prime you when he's been that good to you. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord on high today. Excited. Some of you should just be grateful that you're in your right mind with all the hell that's come against you. On the strength that you're able to say, I'm still in my right mind. You ought to go ahead and give God a praise. Amen. You had the legal right to have lost your mind a long time ago. But because God is faithful, you have a reason to be grateful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about nobody else in here, but I'm grateful today. I'm grateful that I'm not still in prison. I'm grateful that I'm not still addicted. I'm grateful that I'm not still crazy. I'm grateful that I'm in my right mind. I'm grateful that I've got use of my limbs. Is there anybody in the house today? Hallelujah. That is grateful. Amen. This is how it should be every day. I don't care what's going on in your life. Don't make no never mind what it is that's coming up against you. You should wake up every day grateful, because the Bible says that he gives us brand new mercies every. So don't make no never mind what it looked like last night. I got a hope. Lord, have mercy. Is it anybody that knows what I'm talking about? I've got a hope in the Lord that even though it was crazy last night, when I wake up, because somebody said in the Bible, weeping may endure through the night, but joy cometh. Come on, somebody. Joy cometh in the morning. Is it anybody that's happy about joy? Amen. I think I read somewhere in the Bible where it said it's a joy that the world didn't give. So it's a joy that the world can't. Father, have mercy. Hallelujah. 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 Excited to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Excited. And I bind up every demonic entity. Watch this. Watch this. I bind up every demonic entity. There will be no keeping us from getting what it is that we're supposed to have today. Every spirit that is not of the Lord, we cast you out right now in the name of Jesus. And we speak, decree, and declare with confidence and expectation that this will be a great service, that lives will be transformed, not just changed, but I want to be transformed. You know, I want to be transformed. I want to be new. I want to be made over. And I decree and declare today that we woke up this morning singing, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I didn't sing that I didn't have struggles. I didn't say that I didn't have problems. I didn't say that hell wasn't on every side. But I woke up this morning saying, this is the day that the Lord has. I will rejoice. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Do I got any real worshipers in the house? That it don't make no never mind what you're going through. You can praise God in the midst of your valley. You can praise God in the midst of your storm. Lord, have mercy. I wish I had a church that knew what I was talking about today. Woo. Excited to be here today. Amen. I don't know what's happening. We slept in Lexington last night. Amen. Hallelujah. We slept in Lexington last night. Amen. Amen. First night back. We slept in Lexington last night. I woke up. You know when the Lord is in it, because he gives you a peace that surpasses all understanding. Can I just go ahead and tell you, we didn't even have our bed. We were doing like in the old school. We had the pallets on the floor, and it was still some of the best sleep I done had in the last 10 years. Somebody talk to me in here. Did anybody know that when God is involved, it ain't got to be set up just the way you want it, just the way you needed it, just the way you thought it would be? But as long as God is in it, he can bless you with a peace. Lord, have mercy. A peace that makes you feel like you in a mansion. A peace that makes you feel like you got six figures in the bank account. A peace. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about in here today. Somebody said, I want seven figures, not six. Amen. I ain't mad at you. And being the pastor of this church, I want you to have them seven figures. Amen. Bless God. Listen, we've got a lot to do today. We have a lot going on. Pamper me. What is it called? Say it. Pamper me. Pamper me crazy. Pamper me crazy. Beauty salon. Is that what it's called? I don't want. Come on. Salon Suites. Amen. It's the grand opening today. At what time? Our very own. Amen. Sister B. Brianna Renee. What time was it today? 5 o'clock today. If y'all ain't doing nothing, I don't care. Just get over and stand around. Amen. We support you. We support our own. I don't care if you just want to say, girl, I'm proud of you. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for entrepreneurship within the house of the Lord. And we decree and declare right now in the name of Jesus that it's going to be off the hook. We decree and declare that she's going to have 1 million customers. We decree and declare. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now go on, get out of here. You got stuff to get ready for. Amen. Amen. One more time. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. And don't just be clapping your hands. Go on over and get your wig split now. Go on over and get your wig split. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. Excited today. Listen, don't want to forget about our Team Love outreach box that is going to be out there. I think it's out there already, is it? It's already out there for Western Kentucky. Amen. We want to try to be a blessing to Western Kentucky as much as we can. We want to also be a blessing. Sister Janelle Winchester has a post on her page. You guys can go on there. Their rehab center was destroyed. And I don't know about all of you in here, but rehab centers mean something to me. Amen. And so they are needing a ton of materials. And if you'll just go on her page, she has a link there that tells you everything that they need. And so we just want to be a blessing to those that are going through it, and continue to keep Western Kentucky in our prayers in every spot that was affected by the tornado. Also, don't forget, we got some babies that are connected to the ministry. Sister Kim has put it out there on the page, got sizes and all of that. And this is what I think, that if everybody went and spent $15, these children who are not going to be able to have a good Christmas would have an awesome Christmas. Amen. And that's what we want to be about. Amen. It's not just church. It's a mission. You understand what I'm saying to you? And anybody that is connected to us ought to be empowered, because we are empowered by Christ. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I don't understand how we got so many broke down, disgruntled, discombobulated, jacked up people connected to us, and we are connected to Him. Oh, okay. Amen. I'll end there. Let's get busy. Don't forget leadership class. You got 15 minutes after service is over. 15 minutes, I need you in there, because we're going to do this quick, because we got to get on down to Louisville and get the rest of our things moved up here. Amen? The book of John, chapter 3, verse number 16. The book of John, chapter 3, verse number 16. And I'm excited today. Man, we got the homeboys in the church today, Bees. What about that? Amen. Amen. Our great friend Chris Williams is in the house today. Amen. Amen. Y'all don't know. Y'all do not know, boy. Boy, don't worry about it. Boy, you don't know. Sometimes you can't even testify. You just be, boy, you just don't know. You just, amen. We bless God. Amen. We bless God for him being in the house. Amen. A great friend of mine. Then we got my man Paul and Michonne Lewis in the house today. Amen. Bless God. Amen. Amen. You just don't know. You just got to do it again, don't we? Just don't know. You just don't know. But we are excited that God has sent family to chill with family today. Amen? The book of John, chapter 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Y'all go on, sit down. I'm working for y'all today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to show it to you from the Amplified Version, because it begins to get extremely deep when you begin to look at it from the Amplified Version. And the Amplified says, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique Son. Why was he unique? Because there was never and never will be again anyone like Jesus. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So that whoever believes, watch this, believes in, not just believes, but believes in. There's a difference between believing and believing in. I can believe you, but I might not sow into you. I might believe you, but I might not rock with you. So he says, it's not enough to believe, but you have to believe in, trust in, clings to, relies on, him shall not perish, come to destruction, or be lost. but have eternal, everlasting life. Oh. Today we are talking to you from the sermon series. I believe this is what, part 9, part 10? Part 9 of Starting Over, amen? I don't know about anybody else, but Starting Over, this series has been a blessing to me, amen? Every now and again, we find ourselves in a place in life where we just need to start over. Lord, have mercy. Sometimes we find ourselves needing to start over in business. Sometimes we find ourselves needing to start over in relationships. Sometimes we need to start over just in how we think. But there will come a time in life. All right, over there, pay attention. My daughter's in the Lord. My daughter and my daughter in the Lord. Focus. Amen. Follow me off. There will come a time in life, if you live long enough, that you will have to start over. John chapter 3, verse number 16 says something powerful, and it gives everybody in this church a reason to get excited. And the reason why I say everyone in this church is because everybody in this church been through something. Everybody in this church didn't come out the womb speaking in tongues. You understand what I'm saying to you? Everybody in this room has a reason, you know, in the natural. Let the world tell that we got a reason to duck our heads. Amen. We got a reason to not be as excited about the things of God as the people, the so-called people of God, be excited. But Jesus comes on the scene and he clears that up in this verse. He clears it up completely when he says this. He says, look here, for I so love, God says, I so love the world that my Father so loved the world that he gave me, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in, he so loved the world. He didn't say, I so love the church folk. He didn't say, I so love the self-righteous. He didn't say, I so love the overly righteous. I so love the ones that's already got it all together. I so love the ones that ain't never got high. I so love the ones that ain't never got drunk. I so love the ones that never committed adultery or never fornicated. No. He didn't say that. He said, check this out. He said, I so love the world. In fact, there's another verse that I didn't give Shaniqua today, but I want to tell you about it. And it says this. He says, he stepped on the scene and he was dealing with some people and the Pharisees and the religious folk was like, why are he dealing with them? And he said, and the Bible says he perceived it in his mind what they were thinking. And he said something like this. He said, folk that ain't sick don't need no doctor. But I come for the ones who know they need repentance. You understand what I'm saying to you? In other words, he says, so I didn't come for the bougie. Lord have mercy. I came for the broken. You understand what I'm saying to you? I didn't come for the ones that's got it all together. I come for the ones that didn't seem like they could figure it out. But my Father so loved the world. Give me the amplified of that, please. Whoever believes in, Lord have mercy, whoever believes in, and get this, I want you, because if you come from the world, you probably come broken. Because the world will betray you. I don't know a soul in the world that the world has never betrayed. Nope. And watch this. Anybody ever been good to the world? This is real. We just being real. Anybody ever been good to Satan? You served him correctly, gave him everything and more just to be betrayed. Just to be betrayed. And so I love God's wordplay in this because he wants you to understand. He says, not only do I love you, but I pride. He says, when I see you, I see something of worth. When I see you, I see something valuable. I call you I prize you. And I prize you so much. I believe in you so much. I love you so much. I see your potential to the greatest factor, to the point that I gave my Son for you. With all the hell that you've been through, with all the hell that you've created, with all the mess ups, with all the disappointments, with all the flaws, with all the, you understand, the defeats, the losses, I gave him for you anyway. If you ain't never been in no hell in your life, if you ain't never been in no trouble, if you ain't never got yourself into some things that you shouldn't have got yourself into, you ain't got no reason to shout. But if you know you've been a mess undone, with all that I've done, you love me. That's the part that'll bring tears to your eyes. With the way that I've betrayed you, with the way that I've let you down, with the way that I've turned my back on you, you love me. I got folk in my family that don't speak to me, but you love. I got folk in my family that wouldn't loan me money, but you love me. You know all about me. You was there with every messed up moment. You was there with every bad decision. You was there when I purposely sinned, and somehow you still love me. And not just love me, but you love me to the point that you gave your most precious entity for me. So you can tell me that you love me. And it's easy to tell me that you love me as long as I won't expect something from you, from the love that you supposedly have for me. But God says, while you was yet, he said, the Bible says in Romans, it says, while it says he expressed his love. He showed you his love. That while we were yet still sinners, he died for me. He says, a righteous man, I get that. I can understand you giving your life for a righteous man. I understand that you can give your life for someone who's always done good, who's always done the right thing. He said, but hold up. This is what perplexes me. This is what's blowing me away. This is what makes me fall in love with you over and over and over again, is that while I was a wretch undone, you was dying for me. While I was in prison, you was dying for me. While I was banking pistols, you was dying. While I was shooting, while I was everything I was doing, you was still exemplifying your love for me by dying for me. I got a whole lot of people that claim that they cool with me, but I don't know anybody that would die for me. Didn't even have a conversation with me, just died for me. Let me say, if I ever die for any of you jokers, we're going to talk about it. Amen. You're going to have to sign something. You understand what I'm saying to you? With the understanding that if you don't keep your word, I will haunt you. I will haunt you. You will never be at peace. You understand? Yeah. I love you. Amen. You know, you told me last week that you love me, man. I do, man. I love you, man. Yeah, man. Well, I need you to die for me. Woo, look at the time. I got to go. I love you. Yeah, I'm from the block, so you know we have a PhD in manipulation sometimes, and so they call you to the hospital, Sister Powell, and say, you said you loved me last week. I do, I love you. You know, well since you love me, I'm gonna need you to die for me. And I'm gonna say, well, you're supposed to love me. Well, I do. Well, if you love me, you wouldn't ask me to do that. Something really wrong going on here with our love. Amen. Hallelujah. So I wanted to get that point out, and the reason why I wanted to get that point out. Because him giving his life for the world, him giving his life for you is the gift that keeps on giving. It never think about this. Jesus on Calvary just continues to give. Amen? And when you get spiritually mature, you ain't worried about the material things because he gives you things that you can't pay for. Quit getting caught up with stuff that you can work, save up for, and buy. You ought to be caught up with things that ain't got a number on it. How much is that? How much is grace? Priceless. How much is mercy? Priceless. How much is joy? I weighed it. It ain't got a number on the scale. You understand what I'm saying to you? Stop being caught up with things that's going to perish, things that are going to fade away. But you ought to be caught up with some things. Watch this, that you can't even get a number on it. God said, listen, it's too much to charge, so I'm just going to give it to you. Gift that keeps on giving. And the reason why I wanted you to understand that you, even though we come from the world, even though we were a part of the world, we were poster children for the world, we have a reason to be excited in this season and every season simply because he prized us to the point that he gave his son for us. So, if you're going to start over, which brings me to my next scripture and the thesis of my sermon today is, you're going to have to stop being scared. If you're going to start over and you're going to be successful, you're going to have to stop being afraid. Amen. See. One of the greatest enemies to the new you is being afraid. Let me tell you something. When I came out of the world, my wife, she said, "Why, you don't talk to nobody. You don't talk to the electric company. You don't talk to the water company. You don't talk to, if it's something that's got to use your name or your social security number, you don't talk to them." And they'd be like, "Well, I'm going to need your social." And I'd be like, "Hey, baby, come here. They need your social." you're going to have to redo everything because they're not getting my, you understand? And so let me tell you something. And so one day she asked me, and she said, why do you not, you stay off the grid? You don't live how you used to anymore. Why are you staying off the grid? But see, and I had to tell her, I said, baby, I've been shell-shocked. And to believe, see, where I come from, we ain't supposed to exist. And one of the things that the enemy will do when God begins to bring you back to him, what the enemy will do is he'll try to remind you that you don't have a right to exist. Because when I was existing illegally. I was existing not just in the world, but in the kingdom. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so one of the things that I found myself was being fearful to exist. Watch this. And when you're fearful to exist, you become fearful to dream. Oh, Lord. You understand what I'm saying to you? I don't move as smoothly and as fluent as some of you do because some of you have never been into anything. But because I've been into some things, I move cautiously. Not because I'm wrong, but because sometimes I find myself afraid. Sometimes I feel like I don't belong here. You understand what I'm saying to you? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody? See, we got to get past the thing where we say stuff like this. I'm just glad to be here. That's all you want is to be here? You went through all the hell that you went through just to be here? I want to not just be here. I want to own here. You understand what I'm saying to you? Our second scripture. I don't. Is that me doing that? Our second scripture is Psalm, the book of Psalm 34, verses 4 through 5. The book of Psalm, chapter 34, verses 4 through 5. And the Bible says this, get this is powerful. He says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Ooh, this is deep right here. But before I get into it, I want to show you the Amplified Version. This is why I've been telling you guys, $53.99, Christian book, they ought to give me some money. Y'all want to get you that new King James Version in Amplified, because it breaks it down so cold. Here's what it says in the Amplified. It says, I sought, inquired of the Lord and required him. Now get this, not only did I inquire of him, I required him. Require means I needed something. There was some, you know when you talk to people, if you're going to have this, it requires this. In other words, for it to operate properly, it's going to require some things. If you are ever going to function properly, you are going to require the Lord. He says, I sought, inquired of the Lord, and required him of necessity and on the authority of his word. Lord, have mercy. And he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Give me the New King James Version back, because I just want to show y'all something. I want you, because this is powerful, and this is what you need to understand today. It says, when I sought the Lord and he heard. I believe Isaiah 59:1 said, is my ear too heavy that I cannot hear you? Is my hand too short that it cannot reach? In other words, he says, I sought the Lord. Anybody ever sought God? Anybody ever been so broke down, so busted up, so disgruntled, so discombobulated that all you had the energy, all you had the strength to do was seek the Lord? You understand what I'm saying to you? And here's the powerful part about it. The Bible says that when I sought him, he heard. And not only did he hear me, but he delivered me. Now, this is powerful because it says, listen, watch this, Tony. He doesn't say he delivered me out of my issues. Watch this. He delivered me out of something greater, being scared. I'd rather, the issue ain't nothing. It's the being afraid of the issue. It's about being afraid in the issue. Fear, that's why the Bible says a perfect love cast out fear, because fear what? It torments. You ever been scared? Ain't nothing worse than being scared. You understand what I'm saying to you? So watch this. He doesn't say that I delivered you. He delivered me out of my issues. He said he delivered me out of my fear of my issues. He delivered me out of my fears. And when he delivered me out of my fears, I could handle my issues. You ever been scared of something that by the time that it was over with, you realized it wasn't as bad as you thought it was going to be? So watch this. So God says, well, you don't necessarily need me to deliver you from what it is that you're going through. You can handle that. But you need to get over the fear of what it is that you're going through. Yeah. Because scared to have you stuck. You understand what I'm saying to you? And the problem with being stuck is that then there's too much that can happen in being stuck. You remember we was talking about that last week? Y'all remember? Some of y'all too young to know anything about that. And every time you heard that, you'd be, yeah, man, and I was. You remember, and when you heard, you'd be watching the movie and be doing something and hear that. You'd be watching this. Stuck. The problem with being stuck is that you cannot move. And when you are stuck, watch this. Since you can't move, you're not mobile. You can't duck. You can't dodge. You can't swing because you're stuck. Lord, have mercy. And the enemy's been taking bolo blows at many of us simply, not because he's more powerful than us, but just because we're stuck. Fear has us stuck. He says, I sought the Lord. So I want to just go ahead and say this to about 20 of you in here today. If something's got you rattled, if something's got you spooked, if something's got you scared, I want you to seek the Lord. Watch this, because the Bible promises, and he will hear you. The problem is that we keep on seeking people. People can listen, but they don't hear. That's why you can tell somebody about some of the hell that you're going through, and then as soon as you get there, tell them about the hell that you was going through, and it was major hell, they don't say nothing about the hell that you're going through. Watch this. They just start telling you about their hell. Huh? Ah, you kept your word. My man. All right. Yeah. Be leery of the people that you tell them everything that you're going through, and you crying and snotting, and you're just and then they go, you know what? I feel you, cause now they're going to tell you what they're going through. I don't mean to be mean, but I didn't call you to hear what you're going through. I called to tell you what I was going through, and our relationship should propel you into a place that when you see me going through, that it becomes necessary for you to be a blessing to me, to have a word for me. You understand what I'm saying to you? And this is why you can't connect yourself to people that's always got something going on. Lord, have mercy. Because every now and then I'm going to break down. And when I do break down, I'm going to need to talk to you. And if you, the last 3 weeks I've been having to deal with you going through it. Then and now the fourth week I'm going through it. But now I can't come to you because you're still going through it. Then what am I? You understand what I'm saying to you? It's just kind of like reciprocity. You take, but you don't give me nothing back. I love what Pastor Sonia says. She says, Pastor, you better watch out for those spiritual vampires. Be careful of the people in your life that you can always be there for, even if it's just a listening ear. But when you need them, they can't be there for you. And then this is how they justify it. They say stuff like, you know, I wanted to be there for you, but I had so much going on. What they're really saying is, I wanted to be there for you, but what I was going through was far more important than what you was going through, so sorry. The Bible tells us that when my brother mourns, I'm supposed to mourn. Yeah, I'm going through hell, but let me put my hell to the side, because let me get you through your hell. You understand what I'm saying to you? Let me help you through your hell. Next verse. Psalm 23, verse number 4. This is powerful. Psalm 23, verse number 4. No. Psalms 34. Which, put the one else up for his next. That's what you do. That's what we do. Yeah, 34:5. Thank you, Shaniqua. I caught myself being ready with this. Listen to this. This is powerful right here. Y'all ready? They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. They looked to him, and they were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Give me the Amplified. They looked to him, and they were radiant. Their faces shall never blush for shame or be confused. I want to show you something. Take me back to the original verse, New King James Version. The ones that was looking at him, they was going through something. But the Bible says, even though they were going through something, they looked to him, not at him, they looked to him. In other words, when I look to you, that means I'm looking for you to be able to help me. I look to you, that means that I'm looking for your assistance. If I'm looking for you, that could be anything. If I'm looking at you, I could just be admiring you. But when I look to you, I'm looking for your assistance. He says, they looked to him. They looked, E.D., which means there was something going on. Why is that important? Because you need to understand that when you are going through it, you can look to him. And watch this, even though you could be going through some of the greatest hell of your life, still look radiant. let me show you what radiant means. Give me the definition of radiant. Radiant. Someone who is radiant is so happy that their happiness shows in their face. So he says, while they were looking to him, they had things going on, but they were still so happy. Why? Because they was in him. See, the problem is, don't get disgruntled when hell comes your way. You have a right to be happy. In fact, you should be reminded to be happy or get happy when hell comes your way, because you are reminded, oh, here's hell, but I got hope. Here's hell. Oh, I got him. So watch this. I'm smiling bigger than I usually do in some of the most hells and the greatest hells of my life, because I got the greatest hell of my life, but I got him. And any other time, if I didn't have him, then I'd be sad. It's kind of like running your car, your beautiful car, the car that you love so much. It's kind of like running into a truck and you say, you know what? Yeah, I love this car, but I got insurance. See, the world has insurance, but the kingdom has assurance. And so it don't make no never mind what it is that we're going through. I can smile and be for real about it and have a laugh in my spirit, because I have him. I look to him, and on the strength of him, I'm able to operate radiantly. You see? Yeah, radiant. Yeah. I got things that you might not understand, but man, I'm happy. Because I have those things don't mean that I don't have him. In fact, it was the Apostle Paul says, three times I went to the Lord about this situation that I was dealing with, and finally he just told me, my grace is sufficient for you. He says, so in other words, I'm going to boast when it is that I'm going through hell, because I understand that when I'm going through, your strength is made perfect in me. Is there anybody in the building today that's just happy that when it is that that hell is hitting you from every angle, that you get to just transformer? You understand what I'm saying to you? You don't just have to keep going through it. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because God has given you a supernatural bionic. Some of y'all too young to understand about bionics. But every now and again, God gives you a supernatural. I'm strong enough to handle that. I'm wise enough to handle that. I've got enough faith to handle. Hallelujah. Radiant. Radiant. Only God can make you beautiful in the midst of your mess. Only God can make you beautiful in the midst of your storm. A hope in him. A hope that says everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah. Psalm 23, verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord, have mercy, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I'm going through it, even this is one of the darkest hours of my life, even though I really don't have an answer, even though everybody else that went through what it is that I'm going through right now didn't make it through, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I ain't fearing no evil. Ain't nothing. Because I definitely ain't fearing the righteous, so I don't even got to state that. But so the evil needs to know that even though it looks like you went in, I ain't scared. Give me the Amplified. Let's break this thing down. We almost done. What about that? Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I fear or dread no evil. Anybody ever or dread? He says the valley of death, I will fear or dread no evil. Anybody ever fear to the point to where you had dread on your life? Whew. Dread is a cold word. And here's the problem with most of us. We don't even know what these words are that are attacking us. We don't even know what these words are that have set down on the inside of us, taken up residence, and then taken us over. So let me go ahead and bless somebody in here. So you've been trying to figure out why you can't smile, but you should, because everything around you is the way that you've always wanted it. Because there is a dread deep down on the inside of you. It's something that you're fearful of something happening. You're fearful of something going on. You're fearful of something, and it has stolen. It has hijacked. It has kidnapped your smile. It has kidnapped your ability to be happy deep down on the inside of you. Ain't nothing like dread. Dread is when you don't want to get out of the bed in the morning because you know what's waiting on on you at the job site. Dreads when you don't even want to walk in the room because you know that you messed up so bad that you're going to get that look from a, you know, dread. Anybody ever in here had to deal with some dread in your life? Dread, you don't want to go to the doctor because you already have a feeling of what the doctor's going to say. Dread, let me tell you, I used to dread having to go to court because I knew court wasn't going to work out quite the way I needed court to work out. Dread will have you. Woo, Lord, have mercy. That's powerful. You ever dreaded going home? Not me, because my wife, you better stop. I love you. I'd be like, I can't wait to get home. Some people want to go home from work because they're tired. I want to go home because my wife. Dread when you at your partner's house playing the game. His woman done came in and gave you several looks. You done drunk half the Kool-Aid, done ate all the leftovers, but you don't want to go home because there's somebody at home that you know you're going to have to hear from. Dread. You ain't won a game on Madden yet, but you just sitting there taking an abusive beating because you dread going. But not me, because my wife is the bomb. He says, though I walk through the deep, sunless. Everybody ever walk through life and it can be 95 degrees, but cloudy in your life? Everybody else enjoying themselves, but you can't smile, you can't laugh. The joke was funny, you just can't, this is where I'm at. Dread, sunless, valley, shadow of death. I want to go back to the first part. Give me the New King James Version. I want to show you something real quick, and then we're going to bounce from it. He says, your rod, he said, the reason why I'm not going to be afraid is because your rod and your staff is with me. And the rod would help to give you direction. The rod would help to protect you. Thank you. The staff would give you the direction. But I want to tell you something else that the staff would do. And this is why Paul told Timothy, bring me my staff quickly. Paul understood that he was about to die. He understood that he wasn't about to come out of this one. This was house arrest on a whole other level. And he said, bring me my staff. Well, back in this culture, back in this time, what would happen is they would write the victories of God on the staff. Paul is in one of the worst times of his life. And he tells his son Timothy, he says, bring me my staff, but don't bring it quickly. Why? Because I'm dealing with an area of depression. Because this don't look like I'm going to come out of it. Why do I need you to bring it to me? Anybody ever needed their staff quickly? You understand what I'm saying to you? Because when you're going through some of the greatest challenges of your life, every now and again, you just need to grab your staff and look at what God has done. And if he saved me before, then he can save me again. If he brought me through before, he can bring me through again. So every now and then, you have to look at the staff of your life so it can comfort you when discomfort is trying to overcome you. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. He said, my staff, it comforts me. It comforts me to know that I've not been consumed through all the other hells that I've been through. It comforts me to know that when I thought last month that was going to be the one to take me out, it wasn't strong enough to take me out. It comforts me. Is there anybody in the building that just needs a little comfort today? That no matter what it is that you're going through, no matter what it is that's coming up against you, no matter what it is that's after your children, after your relationship, after your money, after your health, hey, I'm going to look at my staff and remember that you have brought me through before. You will bring me through again. And so somebody ought to just give God a hand clap because he is the Lord of again. He is the Lord of again. Somebody tell me the time. Somebody took my clock up. Amen. 12:32. Oh, okay. I'm close. I'm not tired. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. Psalm. That much time. I got a few more to go. Psalm 46 verses 1 through 3. And it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Come on. Verse number 2 says, therefore we will not fear because he's our refuge. We ain't going to fear. even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Watch this. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling sea. Selah, it means think about it. It's pause. Give it a second and let that sink in, what I just said. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake, though all of the calamity that is taking a place around me, I will not fear. I will not fear. See, it's the difference between having insurance and assurance. That's why when people were in need of the bailout, you saw rich people jumping out of buildings, killing themselves when you know they begin to take folks' homes and all of that stuff. You remember what was going on? And you've seen people jumping from 26-story buildings that had built these massive material empires, but insurance couldn't comfort them. Insurance actually couldn't even hold it, couldn't keep its word, couldn't keep its part in the covenant. You understand what I'm saying to you? So you saw rich people just jumping out of their building, just killing themselves. You understand what I'm saying? But those that wait upon the Lord, Lord have mercy, you saw them just be like, we ain't rich and we've been going through struggles and God been delivering us, so this ain't nothing else. This ain't nothing new. It's new for you because you got insurance, but on the strength of my assurance, it don't make no, you understand what I'm saying to you? Insurance, watch this, covers your house, but assurance covers your soul. Assurance covers your peace. Assurance covers your smile. Assurance gives you the ability to keep operating despite what it is that's coming against you. And we ain't gonna be scared. I got assurance. I'm not afraid. But if I didn't have assurance, I'd be spooked. But on the strength of my assurance, I looked over my policy and it said haters. Oh, it covers that. Depression. Oh, my policy, it covers that. You understand what I'm saying to you? Sickness. Oh, assurance, it covers that. So I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Isn't it great to be distinct from the world? Not that we're better, but it's just a better setup. Not that we're better, but it is a better setup. You understand what I'm saying to you? I mean, you know, it's cool to have insurance for $119 a month, but if I can get it for $99 with more perks, though its waters roars and be troubled, though not just it says not only are they roaring but they're troubled. In other words, you ever been through hell that just wasn't hell but it was crazy hell? You ever seen something be just madness, but real madness? I ain't talking to nobody that ain't never been through that. I'm talking to the people who can say, I've seen hell supersized. Just when I said it couldn't get no worse, guess what? It got. You understand what I'm saying to you? And he says, and even in that, we ain't afraid. Because I know whose I am. Lord have mercy. Yeah, whose I am. It makes a difference when you know whose you are. Don't be so caught up about who you are. It's more important to know whose you are. I'm going to overcome you. No, I know you're not. You know whose I am. I'm going to take you out of here. No, you ain't. You know whose I am. You're going to be depressed all your life. No, I ain't. You know whose I am. No, never mind how crazy it gets, we will not be afraid. And I'm going to tell you another reason why we can't be walking around here being afraid. Because you got folk watching you. Now, you done claim saved. You done claim righteous. You done claim a believer. Now, hell hit your fence, and all of a sudden, you spooked. You shook. And the people that was thinking about getting saved, let me tell you something. Let me go ahead and just bless y'all right now and let y'all know. When you are going through some of the struggles of your life, your haters and the world that you've been talking about God to is like this. We're going to see how this play out. They call each other up. I want you to. You ain't going to believe what such and such is going through. Yeah. Now let's see them talk about the Bible. Now let's see them call on Jesus. Let's see if they keep making it to church now. Yeah, they laid on that electric. Let's see if they tithe now. We ain't got time to be afraid. We ain't got time to change. We ain't got time to shift. We got to be steadfast, unmovable, talking about for God I live and for God I die. All right, let's get through this. Isaiah 35:4. You can't. And so what are you talking about, Pastor? Stop being scared. If you're gonna start over confident. If you're gonna start over courageous. Lord, have mercy. Okay, so the Lord just gave me something. Okay, it says, say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with recompense of God. In other words, he will repay. He will come and save you. He's telling them to tell it to somebody. Who is he talking to? Well, he's got to be talking to the believers because he said, tell them that your God, every now and then, you're going to have to encourage your brother and sister. Every now and then, you're going to have to say to those who are fearful-hearted, hey, be strong. Man up. Get it together. Woman up. Don't be fearing. Last week, when everything was going your way, you was jumping around, shouting, praising, singing all out of key, loud. Now you got hell going on in your life now. Now you're over here spooked. Talking about, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I'm doing. Shut up. Get it together. What they used to do on TV? Shut up! Get it together! Got us out here looking crazy. Got us out here scared. Now her demon ready to try us because you over here spooky. You better get it together! Behold. You know what behold means? Look her! You know your God don't have you! And you want to say something? Let me tell you something. Next time that you run one of these Christians, and I don't care if they sit next to you. Next time you run one of these Christians, and every time hell come their way, the first thing they do is cry. They don't operate no faith. They don't operate in the knowledge of God. This time you tell them, look here, I'm going to tell you what we ain't going to do in 22. I'm going to tell you what. You go sit over there because you ain't going to be sitting right here. Every time I turn around, you crying about something. You supposed to be saved. We over. What you coming for if you going to just keep on being scared? What you going to, won't you? You need to do something else. Maybe you need to go to this one. Maybe you need to go. Maybe you need to go to one of the religions where they, God is dead and they got a reason to be sad when hell hit their life. But then I'm telling you, I'm not even picking you up no more. You're going to keep acting like that. Don't y'all be sitting around connected to people that keep on every time they burn. I don't know why hell keep hitting me because you ain't got no faith. That's why when Jesus was getting ready to teach the 5,000, man, you know what I'm saying? When John the Baptist's cousin just got beheaded, and he goes over to get alone, and then he sees the people, and they need somebody, they need some conversation, they need some words, they need some teachings, and he teaches them, and then they said, send them home. And the disciples said, well, and Jesus said, well, they hungry, feed them. And they said, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed all them with 200 denarii? Jesus upset. How are you going to be with the way maker and ask what we going to do? How you going to be with the way maker and ask, what's the way we going to get out of this? How you going to be with me, but not be with me? How you going to be with me, but not believe in me? And he told him, line them up in 50s, line them up in 100s. He wasn't even speaking. He wasn't, line them up in 50s. Jesus, what you shut up, I don't talk to me. Y'all better quit on, see, I don't know where y'all get this old nice, cheesy Jesus that was like,
don't worry about it, I shall.
No, Jesus is like, y'all been walking with me for 3 years. You know I'm going to feed them. I'm the bread of life, stupid. Line them up. And then guess what they did? Let me say, oh God, I'm going to have to just go to the last scripture after this one. Let me tell you what they did. Let me tell you what this one blew my mind. They said, we ain't got no food, but he got some fish. The little boy. They don't know his economical makeup or anything. They're just going to take his food. He got some fish and some bread. Let me tell you why that's important. Because at the end of it, it said that when Jesus got done with everything, it was 12 baskets left over full of food. Well, how many disciples was it? They had lunch, but they didn't offer to us. They took that boy's fish and his wonder bread. That's what barley loaves was. They said he had 2 small fish and 5 barley loaves of bread. Barley loaves is wonder bread. Don't be interacting like y'all ain't hip to... Grew up with some of you. Had wonder bread at your house before. No, you had wonder bread. I got grown, got food stamps. I went to Harrah and got me some butternut. You hear me? I'm bougie up in this. Mary brought Wonder Bread in the house one time. I slanged it across the window. No. Butternut! miracle. It just tastes different on butternut. Just, I'd be eating that Wonder Bread just thinking about the struggle. Okay, I'm sorry. Whew. I was doing so good, wasn't I? I was. I don't even know where I was. Where was I? So Jesus breaks the bread. Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus broke the bread and he blessed it. Listen, stop wanting to be blessed, but you ain't willing to be broken. Can I say it again? Stop wanting to be blessed, but you ain't willing to be broken. Jesus broke the bread and he blessed it. Notice, it could do nothing supernatural until he broke it. Then blessed it. Some of us need to be broken because we think we all that. Some of us need to be broken because we think we ain't got no issues. Watch this. Have you ever been broken and realized how broken you really was? It isn't until you're broken that you realize how broke down you really, and you, I ain't just broken, I've been broken. Stop it. She's just a Wonder Bread. Listen. He breaks the bread, he blesses the bread, and when he breaks it and blesses it, watch this, what was once small now has the ability to do incredible things. You will not do the incredible in God until you're first willing to be broken and blessed. And you got to trust him in the brokenness. And it's one of the hardest things to do is to trust God in the brokenness. When you can't make sense of it, when it don't make no sense, when you feel like your heart is blesses the bread. He does something phenomenal with something small. I believe somebody said little as much in the master's hands. But then he does this. This is how you know Jesus was upset. In the very next chapter it says, and then he constrained them. King James Version says he constrained them to get on the boat. New King James Version says he made them get on the boat. You ever made somebody do something happy? He was upset that, again, here comes another opportunity for you to show faith in me, for you to show belief in me, for you to show that you understand that I am the way maker, that I am the I am, and you failed again. And sometimes, let me tell you something, y'all quit running around here talking about because he forgives you, that he gets tired of always having to pull you out. Just because he does, doesn't mean he always, you know, that he just feels it. He expects you to grow in him. Get on the boat! You know he's mad? He said, get on the boat! Jesus said, I got you, get on the boat. And then he walked away. I ain't even going with y'all. I ain't even riding with y'all. But you know what I'm getting? I gotta go pray, because I might. I don't want to say Jesus going to cuss nobody out, but I might lay hands on you. Don't think that Jesus was above laying hands on people, even though he doesn't say that he did. He did turn some tables over, and I'm telling you, if I come to your crib, you done upset me. You done upset me in my crib, and I turn the table over in my house, 9 times out of 10, it's probably best you leave. I'm either going to hit you or I'm going to draw for something, but it's probably best you leave. If I turn a table over in my house, because something you did, oh, Lord. It says that he made them get on the boat. They went on the boat. Guess what he did, though? Here comes another storm. You want to know how you stop all the storms in your life? Operate in faith in some of them. Them storms is actually training to get your faith game where it needs to be. Yeah. Now watch this. There's a difference between a storm and a consequence. And quit crying for what you did. Quit crying when you got to pay for what you've done. I don't know why I keep on doing that. Because you keep on doing what you ain't supposed to do. That's why. What time is it? Give me 2 Timothy. I'm just going to jump start to 2 Timothy. We're going to quit with this. Here we are. Because if you're going to be successful in starting over, you're going to have to stop being scared. And do you know why you're scared? Do you know why you dare not dream? Because you don't believe. Watch this. Oh, Lord. Because you continuously do what I've been talking about for the last month and a half. You continuously play God like man. And you don't. Some of you think so less about yourself that you think that he'll bless everybody but you. So you just don't dream. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Okay, so let's deal with this because it's going to bless your life. If God God didn't give you a spirit of fear. Watch this. And so you hear some people say stuff like this. This is what I call, these are these high imaginations. Well, you know, it's understandable to be afraid. That's what the Bible said. If God didn't give it to you, then why'd you got it? And there's only two giving entities, God and the enemy. So if God did not give you the spirit of fear, where'd you get it from? Now, Pete, this is what's even deeper. What I just do? I gave her the path. From back here, I can't give her the tap. But what I'm able to do here, some of you are in reach. Some of you are too close to Satan, and that's why he's able to give you things. But if you get your life to the place where it's supposed to be, you understand what I'm saying to you. It don't matter what it is that he's trying to do. The reason that he's been able to get to you is because he's been too close to you. But the Bible tells us that if we would flee from Satan, he would flee from us. Can I just go ahead and bless you and tell you this today? Satan is not afraid of nobody that don't got a prayer life. He will come for you if you don't have a prayer life. Satan is not afraid of nobody that's in, he's not afraid of someone that's not in the presence of God. He's not afraid of you. He's going to come for you if you are a person that is not. He's going to come regardless. But watch this. He's got a whole different mindset from people who operate in the power of God. Some of you are continuously going through the hells of your life because you are not where you think you are. Watch this. You don't even think you're there. You're not where you lie about being. Oh, Lord. Some of you keep on lying about your depth in God, but we know you're lying because if you was as deep in God as you say you are, you wouldn't be taking some of the hits that you take. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, because normal stuff don't happen to abnormal people. There's something about that Holy Ghost make you abnormal. You see what I'm saying to you? I shouldn't make mistakes that I made without the Holy Spirit with the Holy Spirit. So when I begin to make mistakes that are not of the Holy Spirit, that can only mean that the Holy Spirit ain't in me. But watch this. So God has not given. So where are you getting all this fear from? God has not given you bitterness. So where are you getting this bitterness from? God has not given you depression. So where are you getting this depression from? God said he ain't the author of confusion. So where are you getting this confusion from? Where are you getting it from? And how is it that he is able to be so close to you that he's able to give you what you're not supposed to have? My spiritual mother used to say, what's up with your Holy Ghost that demons are comfortable around you? I like when I walk in the room and people get uncomfortable. Hey, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll be praise the Lord. That's right, I brought him with me. Shift or leave. That's what you need to be able to tell people. Shift or leave. God's here. Shift or leave. What are you talking about? Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Shift or leave. What do you feel? Why you feel out of place? Because you. Nah, we ain't never supposed to feel out of place because we walk into a land of believers, because the Bible told us that every foot we tread our feet, it is ours. So if you feel uncomfortable in the midst of people, that's because you are out of alignment with your Savior. You mean tell me we drink over? We're drinking over. You mean we don't listen to them? They're cussing women. We're going over. Why? Because greater is he that's in us. Hey, we have dominion over this thing. So get this. We're done. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Now note, why does fear work so hard? Because it doesn't want you to know that there's power. Satan uses fear to control you as much as he can because he doesn't want you to know that there's power. Why? Because once you begin to know that you have power, you begin to understand that you are no longer powerless to him. This is the attack is, the whole battle's in the mind. That's why you need to read the word. When you read the word, you begin to understand you got options. thing, just got to take that loss. He doesn't give it. He says, but the power of love, watch this, and love is the faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of all is love. Let me tell you something. You got a child that's off the hook. You got a loved one that's off the hook. You got a disgruntled spouse that's off the hook. The Bible, quit cussing, quit spitting, quit calling, quit screaming, quit, love them. Love them. You remember that night? We had that young woman up there, and one of my daughters in the Lord, and this demonic entity had taken her over to where she was, I mean, just going off in church. She's going, and I didn't know what else to do. And the Lord said, love her. And I said, I love you. I love you. I don't know what else to say, but I love you. See, so sometimes you just got to take your child and just say, me and you, we keep missing it. But I love you. So sometimes you, even when they come and they, I don't love you, or you don't love, I love you. I need you to know I love you. It's all I got. I don't got nothing. We done cussed. We done fought. We done, you know, but I love you. It's all I got. I love you. So sometimes, I'm gonna tell you something. When I was in some of the worst husband places of my life, this beautiful woman would just step up and say, Stephen, I love you. I would be saying some of the most cold and callous things to her, and she would say, she'd be sitting there cooking. Some of you are around here buying gifts and buying China. No. Just love them. Love them. It'll change the whole game. Love them. You know how? For God so loved the world, his love changed the game. And he says, get this. He says, he doesn't give you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. So watch this. You ain't going crazy. No, you not. I don't know who I'm talking to. About five people in here today. You need to know. You are not going crazy. You cannot be God's and going crazy. It says he gave you a sound mind. So why is it that I feel powerless? Why is it that I feel loveless? Why is it that I feel crazy? Because Satan is attacking your mind. And that's why the Bible says, above all else, guard your mind. Guard your mind. Because the war is fought in your mind. Never be able to get this together. Yes, you are. Change your confession. This is the last time I'm going to get caught up in this. This is the last time I'm going out like this. This is the last time that I'll be confused. This is the last time that I'll be scared. This is the last time that I feel like I don't nobody love me. You understand what I'm saying to you? Change your confession. That's the issue. You don't want to change the confession. Watch this. And then you will begin to accomplish different things in your life. Quit running here talking about, I'm just messed up. Don't you know that is Satan? Satan's working with that on you. And he ain't, watch this, Satan ain't even doing it no more. Demons ain't even doing it no more. They have trained you to say bad things about yourself. Can I say that again? Demonic entities have trained you to say bad things about yourself. They ain't even around no more. And you just still saying what they trained you to say. So if you're going to start over, and you're going to be successful when you're starting over, you're going to have to stop being afraid. You're going to have to stop being scared. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And if you're righteous, it should only be evil coming against you. See, here's the thing. You have a reason to be afraid when you refuse to get you together. Can I say it again? You have a right to be afraid when you refuse to get you together. Because then you have no hope. But the only thing that should be coming up against us should not be us. The only things that should be coming up against us should be enemy related. And you shouldn't be enemy related. You shouldn't be your worst enemy. People that you call, that you love, people that you confide in, people that you trust, people that you down for, should not be also your enemy. See, some of you have people in your life that have double roles. They're playing double agents in your role, in your life. What do you mean, Pastor? They love you in your face, but they hate you behind your back. This is a year, this is a season right now. This is the time to do spring cleaning. And what don't fit no more, don't get to go. We have overworked our trash men in Louisville because things that don't fit had to get to curb. And we didn't just do that. people, you understand what I'm saying to you, that won't get the number anymore. And you have to know who's, this thing is hard enough. You don't need the people that you think love you or that's supposed to be loving you being your worst enemy. Amen? If you're going to start over,